The scripture today for Kate Lass's teaching is from Luke 21. The destruction of the temple and signs of the end times. Some disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." So Kate Lasso is our teacher today, and I'm really excited to hear her teaching. Kate is, I don't think she knows this, but when I tell other people about her, I refer to her as my church auntie. So I think Kate has that really incredible maternal instinct towards others to make them feel nurtured and welcomed. That's been an important part of her call in Church of the Savior. And one thing I appreciate so much about Kate is her willingness to talk openly about her call to motherhood and family. Even though at times in the church that call has not been as celebrated as others, I think expanding the notion of our call is something that we all need to do, and I think is really important at this time of discernment for the church. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kate.
Thank you, Kip. I was kind of hoping Jimmy was going to be here this morning, but he's not. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I ask of you. Just give me the strength to do what I have to do. Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow is a vision of happiness. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. When reading through today's scriptures, what really leapt out to me is their focus on covenant renewal, on relationship renewal. Since we know that God is always pursuing and reaching out and longing for relationship with us, it's only common sense that cultivating this renewed relationship with God is really up to us. It's our decision to extend our hands, our lives, and our hearts to God. This is what is meant in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent," which in its original form is metanoeo, which means change one's mind or think differently. "Repent, change your mind and believe the good news. After warning us about the arrogant and evildoers, today's reading in Malachi says, not a root or a branch will be left to them, but for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. And that's a great image, isn't it? This week's readings in 2 Thessalonians warns us against the idle and the disruptive, against busybodies who aren't contributing, exhorting us to never tire of doing what's good. And we're to rejoice. Psalm 98, part of the scripture. Sing to the Lord a new song, for God has done marvelous things. God's right hand and holy arm have worked salvation. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. God has remembered God's love and faithfulness to Israel, to his people. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Putting all this together, what I understand is that we need to think differently, to see differently, to act differently, to live in relationship with God. Now, I know for me, this is not a one-time only decision or action. Every minute of every day, I have a choice. Do I want my thoughts and my actions and my speech to reflect my relationship, my covenanted relationship, if I so choose, with God? I did some research on what is meant by a covenant relationship in the Christian context, and here's a summary of what I read. The new covenant relationship God offers us comes through the forgiveness of sin, which was made possible through Jesus' sacrificial death. Jesus' resurrection confirms the faithfulness of God's offering of a covenant relationship. There is hope of new life for all of us. Followers of Christ are also encouraged to enter into covenant relationship with like-minded Christians for support and bringing diverse gifts to God's work. And then there was a reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. Now, this is all very inspiring, and I think it's the way we all aspire to live. But the truth is, we all fall short of God's intention, individually and as a community, both as we pursue our relationship with God and also with each other. Maybe this is why, towards the end of his life, Gordon's spiritual practices included participating in a spiritual support group modeled on the 12-step program. Now, here's a modified definition that I kind of made up yesterday based on what the 12-step program looks like, and it should sound very familiar for us Church of the Savior folks. A 12-step program brings us closer to God using a set of guiding principles outlining a course of action for recovery from behavioral problems. The process involves the following: admitting that one cannot control one's fear-filled or self-serving impulses, recognizing that God can give strength to us for change and an experience of metanoia, examining past errors with the help of a sponsor, an experienced member, making amends for past errors, learning to live a new life grounded in a desire to follow God's call and as an expression of God's love, helping others who suffer turn towards God. And this is why Jimmy's special song resonated with me as I was thinking about what I would say this morning. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I ask of you. Just give me the strength to do what I have to do. Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow is a vision of happiness. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. And sometimes it's 1 hour or 1 minute at a time, isn't it? In my mind, we are in a continual state of renewal, of reaching out to grasp God's extended hand, of bringing ourselves into right relationship with the people around us. Sometimes it's easy, and other times it's harder. But it's what we're called to do, and we must stay open to the Spirit's beckoning. As a community, eighth-day structures have been created to help us engage in this holy pursuit of relationship with God. We are encouraged to participate in daily spiritual practices, to attend church and other gatherings regularly, and to help organize the life of our community as we are able, to engage in tithing or proportional giving, to go on silent retreat once a year. Over the years, these spiritual disciplines have been found helpful for those seeking a metanoia experience of turning towards God. As I have participated in Eighth Day over the years, I have found these practices to be important in my own personal transformation, both before and since I've become a member of the church. I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't found Eighth Day, and I'm thankful, I'm truly grateful that I belong to such a loving and committed Christian community. Yet despite all of these years of transformation, I know I'm still living my relationship with God and with people one day at a time. Now, if everything had gone according to plan, today would be the day that we would have been invited publicly to recommit ourselves to Eighth Day as members. But things don't often go according to plan. Gail's nodding her head over there. In order to arrive at our recommitment ceremony, we've also been engaging in a community-wide reflection process of what we value about Eighth Day and how we think Eighth Day structure should be organized to meet our needs. And this week, a few days ago, David Hilfiger sent out the entire community two different visions for our approach to membership, both which reflect the kinds of values and a desire to pursue a covenanted relationship with God in the context of community relationship and support. A community meeting to discuss these proposals will be held November 24th next week. Kip just mentioned that as well. And I hope that we can all attend. And while I won't comment on the content of the proposals this morning, I do want to underscore that the intention is to create an eighth-day structure that supports each and every one of us wherever we are on our journey to a thriving, covenanted relationship with God. One important question for each of us is, what support do we need from each other to deepen our relationship with God and more fully express God's purpose in the world? At the same time, while structures can help us, they can also hinder us. And we certainly shouldn't give so much importance to structures that we are distracted from our own true purpose. In fact, one of the characteristics of the Church of the Savior's approach to spirituality that I really value is its emphasis on my own responsibility for my spiritual journey. The Luke passage that Kip read this morning helps us understand this point. Some of Jesus' disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." In her commentary on this passage from November 2013, Kayla McClurg offers the following insights. Jesus speaks some hard news to his friends. He knows how much we like to lean on systems and structures. Despite their flaws, he knows we depend on them, and we look to them for reassurance. And he wants us to know the security we get from our religious, familial, and sociopolitical icons is going to be tested beyond anything we can imagine. You can count on it, Jesus says. The things that give you stability are going to quake and change. They're going to fail to defend and protect you. When this happens, not if, but when you are cast out from the very systems you have been loyal to, when you are charged with crimes against them, even as they are the ones failing you, it is going to be very hard. So Jesus offers us a word of advice. Endure. Have his friends learned to trust him, to trust Jesus, the Christ, enough to hear this word? Are we ready to lean upon the grace of upheaval? Can we travel the way of endurance? In November 2016, commenting on the same passage, Kayla wrote, "Part of the trouble with us, and Jesus sees this very clearly and calls us out, is that we prefer to place our hope in the things of this world, to seek our fulfillment from the powers around us, rather than from the eternal. We can see evidence of God's love being freely given, God's beauty abundantly evident, God's continual pouring out of grace upon grace. Yet we hesitate to let our roots go down too deeply into these truths, because we also see danger all around us. We see how quickly troubles arise, how impermanent are the structures and people we have trusted in. What we have built up begins to fall. We are disappointed in ourselves. We are disappointed in one another. And we are disappointed in God." The disciples point out the beauty of the temple, the seat of power in which they have trusted. As long as the temple stands strong, their hope can be strong. Jesus reminds them that even the most solid elements of our lives will one day fall. It will be broken and ruined. Thinking only of the physical building before them, they ask him, "Well, when will this happen?" Jesus isn't interested in dates or times. He's only interested in them. He's interested in their relationship with him. "Beware that you are not led astray," he says. "Many will come who will distract you. Do not follow them. You will hear and see terrifying things, and famines and plagues will occur. You'll be brought up on charges and handed over and persecuted. So many opportunities will be given to you to discover in whom to trust, to learn what can be ultimately depended upon, to remember whose you are." Remember whose you are. Devastation, destruction, disappointment, they all happen. The times in which you live are not, and never have been, and never will be easy. You keep thinking humanity should be there by now, living in peace and contentment, but even with all of your efforts, don't think, don't go as you want. Hold on. Don't panic. God alone is worthy of hope. The pain of the world is beyond our understanding, but this does not mean it's beyond God's understanding. Anne Barnett recently spoke to me about the difficulties of the times we live in that seem to get worse and worse every day. Can they get any worse for people that hold the values that we hold dear in Eighth Day? As a community, we need to stand together to encourage each other, to be brave when the person next to us is fearful, to practice forgiveness, to laugh, to have fun together, to have potluck together, to remind each other of what a loving community grounded in the values of the God of creation and seeking a covenant relationship with the God of creation looks like. What do we need to do as a community to help ourselves and each other respond to God's call? That's why we're here. together as a Christian community, as the Eighth Day Faith community. How can our community help you live out today and tomorrow, leaning into God's love and offering that healing, miraculous opportunity to others? How can our little Eighth Day help to keep clear in your mind and heart who you really belong to? And I'll end. I just loved the song we just sang. Thank you, Kevin. And I'll end just with the last verse of that song. Oh God, I seek to recommit my life to honor well the gospel of the Christ, to speak of peace and only of peace, to obey, to daily raise my hand in praise. Renew me, Lord, I pray. Oh God, renew me, I pray. Thank you.